Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, brought to you each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, the Reverend Louise Shepherd is here in the studio with me this morning. Good morning, Reverend Shepherd.
Hi, Tricia.
Listeners, you might remember Reverend Louise from our conversation many months ago about Reverend Louise's Story Hour. Welcome back.
Well, thank you.
Now, this morning we actually have quite a different topic, but another wonderful measure of children and their families and their experience at SUNY Upstate. A Second Set of Hands is your new book, just published. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we're very excited about this. It's been about 3 years since one of the Pediatric Spiritual Advisory Council members, Reverend Wes Fleming, had a vision that it would be great if we could publish a book.
And where did the name A Second Set of Hands come from?
From Dr. Lou Farchione, a retired pediatrician and member of our council. Dr. Lou, as we call him, shared this memory from his 40 years of practicing medicine. He said, "I have witnessed a number of occasions in which an invisible set of hands worked beside my own and played an important part in patient therapy and outcome."
That sounds wonderful. How did you gather the stories?
About 3 years ago, we put posters up asking families if they had a spiritual experience during the time that their child was being treated or hospitalized, and would they like to submit that? And so they did.
Well, you know, I love the subtitle. It says, Stories of Hope for Families with Very Sick Children. So tell us about the people who wrote the stories.
The people who wrote the stories are all adults, and some of them are parents. And one particular person was a former pediatric chaplain. Another person is a survivor. She's an adult. We just have a wonderful, diverse group of stories.
Right, and I saw one by a grandmother.
Yes, a grandmother.
And the young person who wrote the story, who's a survivor, she was a childhood cancer survivor, wasn't she?
Yes, and I'd like to just say that she, and I quote from her story, which is called Pity Flavored Ice Cream, "I've come to call my cancer an experience, not a sickness or disease, for it has brought me strength and wisdom."
Absolutely. Now, these children had a wide range of diseases, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Talk to me about some of the diseases and some of their experiences.
Well, for instance, some of them are cancer related. One other little child had 3 heart surgeries as a baby. She had heart valve replacement, pacemaker, a lot of major surgeries. It's just across the board of childhood diseases, illnesses, and just things that would really bring a lot of crisis and stress to families.
Absolutely.
Life.
Horribly challenging in many cases, and not all the children survived, did they?
That's true.
But still, this is a story of hope, because mm-hmm. this is part of their journey through their children's illnesses. Now, tell me what the purpose of the book was, not just to develop the book, but you had a real purpose for developing the book.
Yes, and we say, I read from the foreword, "This small book comes to you with large hope that it will touch your heart, inspire you, and help you cope with your child's hospitalization." And our hope was that we would be able to distribute these to families who come in to the hospital with new diagnosis, with life-threatening illness, and be able to help them have some hope.
Right, so the intent really was not to sell the book particularly, it's to give it to these families, isn't it?
That's right.
But you've had contributors who have contributed to making of the book. You want to tell us about that?
Yes, we have been really fortunate to have our liaison, Bob Atkinson, who is from the Wilbert Foundation, and that foundation has been instrumental in funding special projects for us since 2004, and this is one of the ones that they have helped in the pediatric chaplaincy program at University Hospital.
Very good. Well, we also have 2 parents joining us this morning to tell us about the stories they've contributed to the book. We're going to begin with Amy Grosso. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
And welcome.
Thank you.
Your daughter, Bella, her picture is in this book, and I looked at it, and I just wanted to hug her and pinch her little cheeks. She's adorable.
Thank you.
But you had a really difficult experience. Tell us about it.
We did. In 2004, Isabella was diagnosed with leukemia. She was just about to turn 3 years old, and it was definitely life-altering. Our lives stopped at that moment, and University Hospital became our new home.
And your new home in many, many ways, didn't it?
Right.
I mean, you changed your whole social circle based on it all as well.
We did. I think I went from feeling completely alone, like there was nobody in the world, and we found ourselves up on the seventh floor, spending nights and days there, and we found people just like us with the same feelings and emotions and being scared, and we have wonderful friends that we found that day.
Absolutely. I remember reading your story. The turning point to me was you talked about the first roommate who died, and it broke my heart. I can only imagine what that must have been like.
Yeah. I think for me, it was a realization where our lives were and what we were about to face, things that are just unimaginable, and how we needed each other to get through all those moments that were going to be in front of us.
Absolutely. How long did Bella's treatment last?
It was 2.5 years.
Oh.
It was a long time, but a lot of time to really be able to be there and meet some new families and to really be there for each other as families were coming in with their new diagnosis and to give them our experiences and to wrap our arms around them.
Well, I can only imagine when you were a new parent in that situation, you must have turned to the people who had experience, and then as new people came in, they could turn to you.
Exactly, and I think that's one of the things that I've enjoyed, what I found in mm-hmm. my daughter's cancer journey is to be able to give back to what somebody gave to us when we needed it, that, you know, the night when I didn't know how I was going to go to sleep mm-hmm. in this room, and another mother turned around and, you know, made a bed for me and showed me the sheets, and she tucked me in as I was trying to tuck my own baby in. So I, in turn, was able to, when somebody else had a new diagnosis, to come up and do the same thing for them.
It's very empowering, isn't it?
It really is.
Now, how old is Bella now?
Bella is 6.
She's 6 years old.
Yeah.
And she's finished with treatment?
She is. She's going to be 1 year off treatment in April, and she is feisty and happy to be living her little 6-year-old life.
Oh, that is just fabulous. So it has turned out to be that story of hope that we hoped would come from this book, didn't
it? Yeah, for us it sure is.
Very good. Well, Dr. Ron Onbar is a previous guest on HealthLink On Air, a pediatric pulmonologist at SUNY Upstate. You may remember our conversations about children's asthma and hypnosis. And Dr. Onbar is with us this morning by phone. Good morning, Dr. Onbar.
Good morning.
So you were one of the contributors to A Second Set of Hands. As the doctor, you're usually the person who's reassuring the patient's parents. This time the tables were turned, weren't they?
That's right.
Tell us about your experience with your daughter, Ellie.
Well, when my daughter was born, on the first day of her life, her doctor detected a heart murmur and thought there was a serious problem. And we soon found out that she had a very rare heart condition that for which she would require surgery.
Oh, you must have been scared to death.
I was quite scared. They told us she would have to have surgery within a couple of months of life and that there was no real other alternative, which scared us even more.
But that's not really how it turned out, was it?
No, that's one of the lessons I learned from this. We were assured repeatedly that she would have to have surgery, but she kept growing and doing fine for quite a long time, and actually she ended up having the surgery when she was 3 years old, and just because at that point it was reasonably safe to do it.
Well, I remember, too, in reading your story that you were actually quite surprised when they told you that, yes, it was finally time, because you thought she was quite healthy.
Right. Although I noticed she slept more than her siblings and maybe it wasn't quite as active, but otherwise you couldn't tell there was any problem.
Well, I was interested in your reaction to the situation. In particular, I could relate to your loss of sleep. My little girl had to have surgery, but it was just a standard, normal, everyday kind of thing that children have. And I remember how stressed I was. I can only imagine you and your wife both.
Well, that's right. I think the surgery date was set to take place in July, and it was set way back in March. And so for the next 3 months, as the date grew nearer and nearer, it became harder and harder to sleep, and I would be waking up at 5 a.m. and thinking about my daughter and worrying about what would happen, because it's open heart surgery and who knows what could happen.
Absolutely. And I was interested in how you dealt with it. You said hypnosis and prayer. Now, there's an unusual conversation. Tell us about it.
Well, you know that I teach hypnosis to my patients, and as all hypnosis is self-hypnosis, I also practice it, and it's a way of calming oneself, and actually did help me sometimes to fall asleep.
It's sort of like meditation sometimes, isn't it?
That's right. And prayer is also in the same realm, the spiritual realm, helping well, in prayer, you're asking for help from somebody else, from God. And in hypnosis, you're seeking help from yourself. But it's in the same realm of spirituality, and it can be very, very helpful.
Absolutely, I agree. Now, how old is Ellie today?
Ellie's 10 years old.
So that's been 7 years ago.
It has.
And how's she doing?
She's doing really well. She's a wonderful young lady now, not a little girl anymore.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? And now, has she had ongoing health problems?
Well, half a year after her surgery, she actually developed a stroke, which might have been a complication.
Oh, that would have been so frightening.
It was frightening, but fortunately she's mostly recovered. She's doing very well in school.
That's great. Well, Dr. Ron Armbar, thanks so much. Thanks for contributing to this wonderful book, and thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Reverend Shepherd, how can people get a hold of a copy of the book?
They can call our Center for Spiritual Care and leave a message at 315-464-4687.
Very good. And now they can perhaps purchase a copy of the book. You'll be taking orders. They need to leave a message. And then you're hoping to make more copies of this book available to other parents as well?
Yes, we are. And we are hoping the purpose of this is to distribute the booklet free of charge, but we are open to contributions and would be glad to send them or give them a book.
Very good. And we'll put that information on our HealthLink On Air website as
well.
Thank you. Well, Reverend Shepherd, Amy Grosso, and you too, Dr. Onbar, thanks so much for bringing us a second set of hands. It's beautiful. I thank you so much for sharing it with us this morning.
Thank you very
much. Thank you.
Listeners, we do need to take a break now, but please stay with us. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink On Air on 570 WSYR.